On the night he was betrayed, just the day before he was assassinated, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." On behalf of the community at large, may I take the opportunity to extend our condolences to Brett's family and friends, and especially to Elvie. Thank you, Elvie, for your words, particularly your words of your husband. It was a wonderful statement of the nature of true love in a healthy and good marriage. Death is dreadful. There's nothing good about death. It leaves a widow. It grieves family, friends, mates, colleagues, comrades. It robs us of all that is best in life, for it robs us of people. It robs us of our husband. It robs us of our friendships. It robs us of our mentor. It robs us of our love. The death of a man in his prime is even worse. We shall all grow old, but he will not grow old. There's no point pretending that death is normal or acceptable. We certainly can't pretend that the death of a man in his prime is in any ways normal or acceptable. It's right that we speak of the dead, to pay tribute to them, to remind ourselves of them, to share with each other about their greatness and about the funny things and the mischievous things, about their achievements and about their victories. But it doesn't bring comfort. It only heightens our sense of loss. There is no comfort in death. And the comfort we try to bring to each other at this time is often facile. It doesn't work, for there's no comfort in death. Only the harsh reality of life and the pain of suffering, searing and permanent loss. Silly sentiments don't work. He had a good innings. But Brett didn't have a good innings. He died young. He's in a better place. But he wanted to be here, and we wanted him to be here with us. Even expressing the genuine feelings don't work. We're with you, but he isn't with you. He didn't suffer, but he lost everything. Death is dreadful. And we have to look it straight in the face without flinching. And we've got to confront it for what it is. Brett died as our representative. He died as Sergeant Brett Matthew Wood, Medal of Gallantry, the 2nd Commando Regiment of the Australian Army. And as such, he died as our representative. He wore our uniform. Whether we approve of the war in Afghanistan or not, Brett was there because our nation committed our troops to this theatre, and he was doing his duty. One of the very few good things that came out of the Vietnam conflict was that our nation learnt not to confuse the troops who serve with the political decisions that sent them to serve. Our military personnel act on our behalf as our representatives, implementing our policies and our decisions. And we honour and give thanks to God for our men and women who don our uniform and fight on our behalf as our representatives, undertaking difficult and dangerous tasks with skill, with courage, and with integrity. As our representatives, we cannot wash our hands of his death, for he died as one of ours, fulfilling our wishes. That is why it is right for the leaders of the Defence Force, and more for the Prime Minister and the Leader Opposition, for the Defence Minister and our own State Premier to be here today. For Brett died as our representative, fighting the fight that we determined should be fought. And his blood is on our hands. And not only the government or the politicians or the Defence Force leaders, but it's right for the average citizens to be here as well. We can't blame the politicians, because in a democracy we all share in government. Brett died for Australia and for Australians. And his blood is on all our hands. Dying as our representative, Brett died for us. And as Jesus said, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. But yet, in two ways, Jesus did more. More than laying down his life for his friends. Firstly, he died not only as our representative, but also as our substitute. Anybody who wears our uniform is on our team, and we will cheer for them, rejoicing in their victories, rewarding them in their heroism, suffering in their defeats, and grieving sorrowfully over their loss. But there are some players who not only wear our uniform but also take our place as our substitutes, running onto the field of play in our place to fight our battle, claim our victory, suffer our loss, pay our penalty, and even to die our death in our place. And that was Jesus. He died our death, not only on our behalf, but also in our place. And his death is our victory. For in laying down his life in our place, he paid for our guilt, defeated our enemy, and rose to eternal life. Secondly, Jesus died not only for his friends, but also for his enemies. Our New Testament reading that Brett's father David just read talked about being willing to die for a righteous person. Perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God's love is extraordinarily higher than anything we have. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die just for his friends, just for the good and godly, upright, righteous folk. Christ died for the ungodly and for sinners, for his enemies. And not just when the warfare was over and we'd become friends once again, but while we were still weak, while we were still sinners, while we were still ungodly and the enemies of God. I don't know where you are in your spiritual pilgrimage, whether you're finally grown out of your teenage rebelliousness or your arrogant, independent self-confidence, or whether you are locked up in your guilt and your remorse, aware you're unworthy and trying to quieten your conscience. But in the face of this untimely death that could happen to anybody who was serving and will happen to us all one day, take a fresh look at God's death. For Christ didn't die for the good, but for the guilty. He didn't die because we were righteous, but precisely because we weren't righteous, but rebellious. No man can love more than laying down his life for his friends. But Jesus was more than a man. He was God. And he laid down his life as our substitute and for his enemies. Like you, like me, who too often ignore him, forget him, and sometimes reject him and rebel against him. Brett travelled as a warrior. And as the great warrior of the Old Testament, King David, wrote in the psalm that was read for us earlier, Brett travelled in the valley of the shadow of death. And like King David, Brett travelled there often. Rob Sutherland has told me of such times when Brett was like David, not alone, for he too was a man who prayed. David knew the Lord as his shepherd, but now, as you and I again pass in the shadow of death, do you know the shepherd, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep? Not do you know that the Lord is the good shepherd, but do you know the Lord like David did, as my shepherd? Can you with David say, the Lord is my shepherd? For it is only at the foot of the cross that you can come to understand this awful, awful thing called death. And when you understand that, you will know how to live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the life that you have given, for the life that you have taken. We thank you for your love that we see exemplified in a man who would lay down his life for his friends. but yet which we are reminded of as so far greater still, for your Son to lay down his life in the place of we his enemies. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and his life and death and resurrection, from which we can come to understand our own mortality and the life that you would have us to live. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.